Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. This is Paul White. If I move quick today and tomorrow, I can get you through an entire section from the 9th chapter of Romans, verse by verse. So let's get started. Here is Romans chapter 9, covering verses 12 to 24. Okay, we picked the teaching up here in Romans chapter 9, and in our first segment, we made it through about the 13th verse, but we didn't get real deep into the 12th of the 13th verses. So what I want to do is just a real brief recap, basically starting with the 8th verse of Romans chapter 9. There's a distinction that Paul is trying to illustrate, because the 9th chapter is letting the people know that he's actually turned his attention in the 9th chapter to the Jew, to let Israel know that the gospel does not set aside God's promises for Israel, that because Jesus died, he didn't set all the promises that God had for Israel and just go, oh, well, those don't count. No, God's not that way. God's consistent. And so the cross did not exclude Israel's promises. It simply placed the Gentile believer into those promises. And so Paul gives in verses 4 and 5 the privilege of Israel, what it means to be an Israelite, and then the distinction in verses 6 and 7 between people who are Jews by blood and people who are Jews through his spiritual seed. In other words, those who there's a difference between those whose dad's dad was a Jew, so they're Jewish, and those who have faith as Abraham had and do what a Jew does. So Paul's bringing that distinction to light. By the time he starts the 8th verse, then he's going to illustrate that distinction. Let's read that real quick. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In other words, the children of God are those who display faith in Christ, not just those who have the bloodline of a Jew. Verse 9, this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calls. Notice that Paul is saying that God made a promise to Sarah. It continued on through Rebekah, and that the children, though they weren't yet born, they had never had the opportunity to do good or bad. Paul uses the phrase good or evil. God had purposed them according to election, not according to works, but according to God's call. So they were members of the seed of promise according to the call of God. Now, he's setting us up, because what he's about to do is introduce the fact where he's trying to illustrate a point that the Gentile that believes on Jesus Christ for salvation is just as redeemed, just as promised, just as blessed as the Jew who can trace his lineage back to Abraham. And remember, at the time of this writing, which was about AD 60, Jews could still trace their lineage back through Abraham, because the temple would be burned by the Romans in AD 70, and most of the Jewish records would be burned, genealogical records. And so up until this point, these people still knew. So Paul is introducing something that was tough for Jews to accept, is he is saying that he's about to introduce that the Gentile believer, who believes in Christ, is on equal footing, because he says this, and this is about where we ended last time, verse 12, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. Now, what the reason he's bringing that up, remember Rebekah, when she had Jacob and Esau in her womb, these twins were wrestling. Rebekah went to the Lord. By the way, whatever you're wrestling with, go to the Lord. She did, and the Lord spoke to her and said, there are two nations in your womb, but the older shall serve the younger. So from the moment Esau and Jacob were born, she had a special place in her heart for Jacob, because she had heard God say to her, the older shall serve the younger. Esau is going to end up serving Jacob. So her whole life, she leans towards Jacob. Isaac leans towards Esau. Isaac did not hear that from God. Rebecca heard that from God, and so she embraces it. Paul uses it, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, before I get into what that verse means, I want you to notice why Paul says the older shall serve the younger, because Israel was older than the church. Israel is the Esau character, while the church, through the blood of Jesus Christ, is Jacob. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to introduce to you true salvation. Jacob is who you want to be, not Esau. You want to be in the younger, not in the older. You want to be in Christianity, not in Judaism. This is what Paul's saying. Don't find it shocking that the younger, the older shall serve the younger. What did Jews think this meant up until Jesus? I honestly can't answer that question. And maybe years from now, I'll have the answer to that question. I'll look back on this recording and wonder why I didn't know. But I don't know what Jews thought the symbolism was of Jacob and Esau. Yet Paul, who has great spiritual insight, brings the story of Jacob and Esau back here in Romans 9 and says, let me tell you what that story meant. What that story meant was that the younger is coming along who will be preferred, favored above the older. Jacob would do this again in his own life. In Genesis 48, when he goes to Egypt to live the last years of his life in the palace of his son Joseph and Pharaoh, he is brought one day near his deathbed. Joseph walks Ephraim and Manasseh in to his father. Ephraim, I believe, is the oldest. Manasseh is the youngest. And he brings them in, walking them up to his father so that his father will lay his hands on them and bless them. The left hand blessing was for the whole family. Anybody could get blessed by the father's left hand. But the right hand blessing was the blessing of inheritance, where that one person got half of everything. And so the right hand blessing is the one you wanted. It was the one that where you bore the name of the father. And so Joseph pushes his children towards his father. He pushes him to where his oldest son will, because his father's blind, he can't see. He pushes him to where his oldest son will line up with Jacob's right hand to receive the eldest blessing. And the youngest comes up to receive the younger blessing, the left-hand blessing. But blind Jacob knows better, because Jacob knows in his heart who he is. And he knows what God wants to do in the family. So the Bible says that Jacob, guiding his hands wittingly, crossed his hands, put his right hand on the youngest son, put his left hand on the oldest son, and blessed them accordingly. Joseph grabs his father's hands and uncrosses them, says, Father, you're doing it wrong. You should put the right hand on my oldest son and the left hand on my youngest son. And the father says, no, I've done it right. Truly, the older shall serve the younger, which is exactly what God had told his mom about him. So Jacob is repeating the prophecy that the older is going to be less blessed than the younger. So God's promises still stand for Israel, but let's stop acting like Israel gets the better promises. You and I have the better covenant built upon better promises. You and I are truly the blessed people. Now, I'm not anti-Israel at all. I'm pro-Israel. Praise God for Israel. But I'm pro-church. I'm pro-Christianity. I'm pro who Christ is, because the great right hand at Calvary, when Jesus suffered and died, he crossed his hands. He gave grace to the church. He brought the church into his blessed seed. Now Paul will then write in Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And this, he's quoting from Malachi, where God speaks of, and this is, please don't construe from Romans 9:13 that God is a God of hate. We know that God is a God of love. But the reference here in the Greek is preference. He who God has blessed versus he who God has not. And Jacob, the point in the text is that Jacob was younger, yet he got the beloved blessing. Esau was older, but he didn't get it. Paul follows it up by saying in verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, this sounds very familiar, actually, this terminology. What shall we say then? God forbid. First appears in Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Kicking off Romans 6:2. Here in Romans 9:14, what do we say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Is God wrong in doing this? No, because this is the teaching to a lot of people. And this was an opposition towards the Apostle Paul, because the church was growing weary of Paul giving such importance to Gentile believers. They thought that it was okay for Paul to preach Jesus to Gentiles, but he shouldn't act like they're on equal footing with Jews. They believed that was a mistake. Paul is writing the 9th chapter of Romans to prove them wrong, to say otherwise, that the Gentile believer is not only on equal footing, Paul is saying he's superior because Jacob is superior to Esau. The believer is superior to Israel because the believer has accepted Christ by grace, by faith. So is God unrighteous in doing this? Paul says, God forbid, verse 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. I love how Paul, to confront Jewish dogma, Jewish philosophy, uses Jewish scripture. This is truly for the Jew I became as a Jew. If you want to quote to me the Torah, Paul is saying, I will quote to you the Torah. I will show you from your own book, Jesus. And it's so important that New Covenant preachers, pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, it's so important that we learn how to show the world Jesus in the Old Testament. Not just in the New Testament. Because when Paul wrote, all he had was the Old Testament. He was being given the New Covenant, for sure. It had already been given through the blood of Jesus, but he was verbally being given this by Jesus to write it down and to preach it. But all he had as far as scriptures was Old Covenant. When Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he reveals them to them the scriptures concerning himself from the law and the prophets, meaning that Jesus didn't reveal himself in the flesh to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He revealed himself to them in the scriptures. Why didn't he just reveal himself in the flesh? Because that wouldn't be fair for you and me. These guys were doubting, just like you and I sometimes doubt. These guys were discouraged, just like sometimes you and I are discouraged. So instead of revealing himself to them physically, which he doesn't do to us, that would be unfair, he reveals himself to them the same way that he will reveal himself to you and I today. It was God being fair to you. So as Jesus revealed himself through the law and the prophets to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, so you and I have Jesus revealed to us through the law and the prophets. So every time the pastor, the teacher, whatever, takes you to Genesis, from Genesis to Malachi, and shows you Jesus, says, this is Jesus. This is a shadow of Jesus. This is Jesus hidden in Hebrew language. It's Jesus hidden in Hebrew genealogy, all of those things. And I'm going to present for you a message, or I've preached messages, rather, on Jesus revealed, the cross revealed in Hebrew genealogy, how the cross is in code in the genealogies of Israel. If we'll just look in the Hebrew, it's there. It's because Jesus is all the way through that Old Testament to give to us who he is and what he is. So Paul uses Old Testament. He says, look, it's God. God said to Moses, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'm going to have compassion. He's actually quoting Exodus 33, in case you were wanting to know the reference that Paul is using. So then it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but it's of God that shows mercy. So it's not the Jew that does it or the Gentile that does it. It's God that picks it. Thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Romans chapter 9, verses 12 to 24. If you'd like a copy of this on one CD, it's about 26 minutes long, and it is offer number R92. Contact the ministry and ask for offer number R92. It's our gift to you. God
bless. You for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.